Our vacation rental dilemma is a hot-button issue across the state. The fight over enforcement and whether to allow more units in neighborhoods here on Oahu took another turn yesterday. It was take two as members of the Honolulu Planning Commission heard a revised proposal from the mayor to regulate short-term rentals on Oahu. The commission shot down a similar proposal last month. Hawaii Public Radio's Ryan Finnerty has the latest on what's changed.
First, a few definitions. Short-term rentals are less than 30 days. Permits for these have not been issued on the island of Oahu since the 1980s. Bed and breakfast, or B&B, means a home in which the owner rents out individual rooms within their full-time residence. A temporary vacation unit, or TVU, is a house or condo that is rented out in its entirety for fewer than 30 days at a time. Large numbers of both supporters and opponents of short-term rentals turned out to oppose Mayor Kirk Caldwell's previous regulatory proposal. In response, the mayor and the Honolulu Department of Permitting and Planning revised the bill. Katia Balasiano is the chief land use planner for the DPP.
The legislation that you have before you is different than the one that we had previously submitted. We had listened to the testimony over the multiple meetings that you've had and have changed the proposed legislation somewhat significantly. So what you have before you is new legislation, not reconsideration, not the previous version, but something that's brand new. And as part of this brand new bill, we are proposing that all B&Bs and TVUs are capped at 1% of the total households in the applicable development plan area. We're also proposing new regulations so that corporations don't end up buying several homes and converting them into a short-term rental. And then one of the most important components of the legislation in the land use ordinance involves enforcement. So daily fines that are higher than anything else currently in the land use ordinance, beginning with a $25,000 initial fine that increases with each additional violation. And then if the illegal use continues, the city will be able to recoup all of the profits made on the rental.
Planning commissioners questioned Balasiano on issues of enforcement and tax categories. She said that the decision to treat unhosted temporary vacation units differently than hosted bed and breakfasts was deliberate.
We want to encourage more people to have B&Bs. The penalties, for example, are not as stringent as those violating the proposed law associated with TVUs. We think that when there is a property owner who lives in the unit and offers a bedroom or two for rent, we receive far fewer complaints because someone is on site, someone is there to manage the property day and night and can address issues. So we wanted to create a system that encourages people to offer B&Bs instead of TVUs.
There are several major revisions in this proposal, having to do with numbers, taxes, and fines. On numbers, all short-term rentals would be capped at 1% of the housing stock in every neighborhood. A previous version allowed for an unlimited number of hosted B&Bs island-wide. Separate tax categories would also be created for the hosted and unhosted rentals. And violators would be hit with serious fines, in some cases thousands of dollars per day. Mayor Kirk Caldwell appeared in person to make the case for those fines.
These are hard, tough, draconian measures to tell people if you want to chancel and go ahead and do an illegal vacation rental without a registration number, you're risking your property and huge fines that will not be negotiated. And the council can make it even tougher like they did with these large detached dwellings sometimes called monster homes. No negotiation. You pay or else you lose your home. And I think this is going to make a tremendous difference, particularly if we set some examples. And some people say, well, you know, Mayor, what if someone down the street, we know under your new bill, that law, they're doing an illegal vacation rental. Call DPP. Tell them, this address is running an illegal vacation rental. I know they don't have a registration number. And DPP would check it. And if they can't find the registration number that goes with that address, they get a notice of violation, $50,000. They continue it, $100,000. Now there's a lien for 150 and an execution action. I don't think this is going to happen very often. I think it's going to get people to comply and get their registration number so we know who's operating these kind of units.
I caught up with Mayor Caldwell outside the meeting.
Mayor Caldwell, what did you change in this proposal from the previous one that was voted down by the Planning Commission?
Well, changed it in a couple ways. One, we allowed about 800 legal vacation rentals that we have right now on the books remain on the books. They would not have to get a new registration number. That's number one. Number two, we made it wide open for bed and breakfasts in residential neighborhoods. We've now put a cap. You can't have more than 1% of all the housing stock in a district for bed and breakfasts. So that is going to really reduce the number. It also means a first come, first serve, right? You come in and get your number, but after you hit your 1%, new ones would not be issued until the old ones stopped operating. And then in apartment districts, we heard from people saying that we really don't want an unlimited number of B&Bs in apartment districts. So again, we restricted that to just 1%. And we required that any apartment building, any condo, that no more than 50% of them can be for bed and breakfasts. Initially, we didn't do it because we thought the associations, the condo association boards, would vote to regulate this, but to address that fear that perhaps if they don't make a decision, you can't turn a whole building into a bed and breakfast operation.
The previous proposal got a lot of opposition from both sides, both supporters right. And opponents of short-term rentals. So how did that opposition shape your revision? And do you think that what you have now can kind of bridge that gap between those two sides?
I don't think the opposition is going to go away. This is a highly controversial issue. Half the people stand on one side, half the people stand on the other side. It's kind of like rail. And there's no pleasing one side or the other. I mean, if you go to one side, the other side doesn't like it. If you go to the other side doesn't like it. What I've tried to do is find a balanced bill. I think there's things in the bill that people, both sides like, and there's things in the bill that both sides hate. And for me, that tells me it's a balanced and fair bill, and that's what we're trying to do here, is find the balance. We're not trying to choose one side of the industry or the other side. We're just trying to manage it better so the impacts on our neighborhoods are less, while still providing an opportunity to visitors to have the experience of living in other areas than resort areas. Of course, this is just the beginning of a very, very, very steep, difficult, hazardous climb. Whatever the Planning Commission went through is going to be quadrupled when it gets before the council, and they're going to have a lot of difficult decisions to make, and of course they're going to amend and adjust this bill. It's all part of a process. So I think issues raised by the community on one side or the other is going to be re-raised before the council, and they're going to try to address it. And I hope that, again, how they address it is one where they try to balance the two sides and are fair to everyone and pass good legislation based on solid policy.
And are you hopeful that you can get something passed before the end of your term?
Oh, for sure. I'm hoping by the end of the term. I'm hoping that it be prior to the end of the legislative session, because I think the legislature is looking to see what the island of Oahu does. 1 million people live here out of 1.3 something million. So the real impact is here. A lot of the illegal units are on this island, and I think they're waiting to see how we address it. So definitely hoping to see. You know, I got another 2 years and 2 months. I'm hoping it won't take that long.
It was standing room only at the Planning Commission hearing. More than 30 residents appeared in person to give their feedback. One of those was Kailua resident Alex Ress, who opposes short-term rentals.
Who's kidding yourselves by saying this is going to be regulated? 8,000 to 10,000 of them out there. Ask them how many they've actually enforced under the current money and manpower that we currently have. Have they been effective at all? I would suggest that you could put $1 million fine and nothing would change, because if it can't be enforced, nobody will pay attention to it. I think the ultimate goal is to have people stand up here and give their names. I bet they'd give their address. They're not worried about any enforcement, right? They're not worried about enforcement. People breaking the law, telling their names, and they're breaking the law. They're not worried about a $25,000 fine or $1 million fine. Mayor Caldwell, he didn't like scooters, right? There's no more scooters around. We are able to enforce this, but we don't want to. This bill is not going to enforce anything. We need enforcement.
Julian Ritchie is a Honolulu resident who opposes the regulation. He rents out his residence while he travels for work and argues that a long-term rental wouldn't work for him.
My home being rented out to the short-term market does not affect the rental market here at all. It helps me to cover my mortgage and maintain my home. I oppose the tax increase. I rent my property for a short part of the year, but I'm detached for the full year. I'm opposed to no TVUs in residential areas. I'm in a residential area myself, but I'm moving out part of the time, and it's typically the families and my neighbors having problems with it. The fines that are mentioned, I think, are far too egregious. They're more than most criminal fines that we have, so that's something else that needs to be addressed. We pay our TAT tax, we pay GET, and we contribute to the state and the neighborhoods in a lot of ways. All the residents that come in, excuse me, the visitors that come in, contribute to the local neighborhood businesses and to the community as well. I think we're offering a valuable service to folks.
After several hours of testimony, the Planning Commission voted unanimously to approve the proposal. It now goes to the Honolulu City Council for consideration. I'm Ryan Finnerty for The Conversation.
You can find a link to the short-term rental bill and other stories on this hotly contested issue at hawaiipublicradio.org.